This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Paganapake Pagan alongside Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Fahrenheit 451 is a brand new movie on HBO, directed by Ramin Bahari. It stars Michael B. Jordan and Michael Shannon and is, of course, based on the sci-fi classic by Ray Bradbury, which was written all the way back in 1953. If you don't know, the novel kind of depicts a world in which firemen ignite personal libraries in order to keep the population kind of docilely addicted to filmed television entertainment, right? Ray Bradbury had something of a disdain for television, and the book kind of pushes forward this notion that television strips us and saps us of intellect and creativity. This movie is a bit of an upgrade on that. Obviously, we live in a new world, and it feels like they've transposed that hate for television to social media instead. I found this movie so severely lacking. I don't know how you guys felt about it. I'll tell you why. Basically, it felt that it was trying so hard to respond to both like the Trump presidency and all of the stuff we have in social media, and it ended up becoming so polemical. I mean, the problem with Ray Bradbury's book was it was polemical, right? So it wasn't really a novel. It was like a series of rants against TV.
I read the book after watching this, and in the afterword and foreword by him, he said it was five stories he jammed together.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and it reads a little bit like that.
Yeah, it does.
Really?
But I thought when it started, I thought that it had a really good grasp on the themes and had its own things to say. Like, it opens with the book burning, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's a point where Beattie, right, Michael Shannon's character, he's the chief fireman for Cleveland, is like, you can read any book you want on the Nine, which is their new internet, and up on the screen it brings up Moby Dick.
Yeah. Emoji and, Moby Dick!
And it's, they've replaced, during the credits they do this, it ties together, because like you see words being replaced, like chaos and physical and stuff like that. So instead of Call Me Ishmael, the first line, it's like, it's a paragraph, is a Moby Dick, and it's like Ishmael and an arrow and then boat and whale pictures. It's just like it's
pictograms.
It's narrative stripped of all meaning and nuance,
which is very cool.
Which is a very cool way of doing it. And some of the dialogue, which I think is what the whole point of Bradbury's book is like lifted direct. Some of Beattie's speeches are the exact lines
from the book.
And Michael Shannon's great. So all of that, he's just great all the time. Sorry, just reminding you of that. All of that's fantastic, but then for me, I enjoyed that part of it. But then when I realized that there was a few minutes coming up to go and they hadn't got anywhere near any kind of ending or resolution, whether it was going to be a bleak one or a hopeful one or an in-between one or anything, and then everything from that point felt rushed.
Yeah.
And that kind of was more the bigger failing for me than anything else. Because I was, this would be great as a multi-part TV series.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Michael Shannon go around, and because it's a genius of the book as well, is that like, yes, the firemen are supposed to destroy knowledge, but his character, you have to know a little to know what's dangerous.
Yeah.
And there's a feeling in the book that Montag is like raging. He doesn't have the knowledge to combat these discussions. And you get very little of that in this.
Because the turn, Michael B. Jordan's character's turn, almost happens too quickly.
Yes.
You don't understand any of his motivations. He meets a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah. And in the book, it's kind of similar, but it's like he doesn't even talk to her that much.
Yeah.
It's more of a weird, the book is of its time. There's some weird stuff with Montag's wife that is not great, but they widely got rid of it for the TV show.
Right. I mean, I was talking to Uma about it earlier as well, and there were bits of it that I really enjoyed. I liked the idea that Michael Shannon is using information or the lack of information against Michael B. Jordan, right? Mm. So he was talking, when they stumble across a library, a personal library, and he goes, you can, you know, pick any book you want, you know, and then you will see why they're dangerous. Yep. All the arguments he makes for how knowledge and how books are dangerous, for me, as a Malaysian, feels very familiar.
Yeah.
We've heard it here, and that's partly the problem, right?
What's the line?
Like it's last like, month.
Like last yeah. month, we've heard
what's
it
the line about, you know, it's better, rather than giving someone two sides to a story, it's better to give them one or none.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's no sides to the story, it's just this is how it is.
Yeah, so that feels very pertinent locally.
Yeah.
And you're right, because Malaysia, like America, has no time for nuance. And that is essentially
nuance.
Yeah. And that is essentially what this movie is trying to push forward, right?
Yeah.
Or this notion of a future which has absolutely no time for nuance. So much so that it is depicted on the neon signs around the city.
Stay vivid.
Exactly.
That's what it says, stay vivid. Yeah.
And here's the thing, right? I mean, because it has no time for nuance, I found that in that third act, when it goes straight up into thriller territory, it left me totally wanting. Because
I didn't buy it.
Because I'm like, you've moved from philosophical meta conversation into thriller territory, and then you've left us hanging in the end with this huge metaphorical meaning.
Before the end of the movie, probably about 15 minutes before, is probably where the bleak ending should have gone.
Yes.
Like the bleaker ending.
Oh, right. Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
It feels like they had a second they had second thoughts when finishing the script.
There's also a problem in making Fahrenheit 451 in 2018 in that you can't help but wonder what Charlie Brooker would have done with it.
Yeah.
And it feels like...
Because it's a Black
like,
Mirror. It is, it's a Black Mirror Twilight Zone episode. It's just Ray Bradbury did it before that.
And it feels like Ramin Barani is so greatly inspired by Charlie Brooker, even in his inspirations for the future. Okay, sorry, before I forget. The urban noir visuals are stunning.
Yeah.
Mm.
The movie opens in this just wonderfully stunning way. All of the scenes with fire are incredible. Yeah. Everything is so beautifully shot.
And even the wall screens, which look like they're, you know, you're just watching like waves and stuff on the walls.
Yeah.
But that's taken from the book as well.
Yes.
But they implement it nicely, so it does feel like a Black Mirror thing. Right. And they've added this all-seeing eye thing, which I really thought was interesting as well.
Yeah. That was cool. And also the fact, which was most close to the future we might end up in, everything is a screen.
Yes.
Everything is a screen. And I love that implementation.
For me, it was also the engagement thing that they always keep doing, right?
Oh, like, yeah, there's constantly... It's
like
Facebook
look
Live.
In the mirror and you're like...
No, but it's Facebook Live. There's constantly the bottom scrolling emojis
Live.
And stuff like that.
So,
it's like, kill him. It's just like an axe sign or something.
So
like
when
that,
when Michael B. Jordan has to light the fire, like, there's a camera... There's a news crew there and everybody's voting. Yeah. And he's just like hamming it up to the cameras.
It's a nice twist because they're not just like faceless henchmen of an authoritarian state. They're social media stars. It's time for the fire show, everybody.
Yeah, they're you know, they're KOLs.
Yeah. And the nice update too is that they're not, it's a point in the book as well, they're not killing anybody.
No.
They are killing their identity, which I thought was a really nice idea.
Right.
Which is that in the future, when all your money and everything is based on thumbprints, erasing your thumbprints erases your ability to live.
Right, right.
Which I really like that. Again, these very smart sci-fi ideas, but they did tend to peter out near the end. The last idea that kind of comes into it is like, yeah, well, that's okay, I guess, but then how does that work exactly? And oh, it's over. So I guess we don't know how that works exactly.
We just have to hope it works.
There's hope, I suppose. Yeah. Rebellions begin with hope, I believe.
Yeah.
There is that.
There is the added problem of releasing this movie in 2018 in the age of fragmented media. Ray Bradbury had a singular enemy, right? Television. That was the problem. He thought television was going to make us dumb and stupid and in this, it'll lead to a post-literate world, right? Today, there are many enemies of literature, if you want to look at it that way. I mean, the screen is the ultimate enemy. But
I think they address that nicely when they find some books and Beatty says to Montag, you've never seen books before. Because up until now, they've been burning PCs and computers and things. And I thought, and uploading copies to the web to the nine.
To
and
the
I thought
nine,
that
yeah.
was a nice update to make sure, like, because if it's just all about books, kids today be like, what? What's book, man?
Mm. But do you not think the idea of rooting it in social media also risks dating it so easily?
Maybe, I don't
know. I mean,
Because that's why I like the idea of, what's it called? The TV series about suicide, 13 Reasons. 13 Reasons Why. That's one of the things I like about 13 Reasons Why, that the fact that they had it on cassette tapes and not like on an iPod or an MP3 or something like that, because cassette tapes are old enough that it creates enough of a conversation when young people go, what's that, man? Is it a cassette tape?
Yeah.
And the fact, you know, it creates some tension, right?
Right.
But social media seems so in the now that I'm worried in 5 years' time when there is no more Twitter, this movie is just going to feel
so much
like a relic.
The upside is they didn't name the social media.
Yeah, I mean,
Although, did you
see Cara Delia, Dave Bowman from 2001 say, when we had the internet, what you now call the nine?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
that was Dave.
Yeah.
I can't let you on the internet, Dave. I really like that. Yeah, yeah. But that was that kind of, they do tie it a little bit there, but the nine is just, it's the algorithm.
It's a thing, yeah.
They mentioned the algorithm a little bit. We're going to have some form of those things, whether it's ticker tapes along the bottom of screens or anything like that. Like even just the mirror thing, that could be just the state-sponsored thing. You know what I mean? It's your news feed. So I think they did a good job of that. Because anytime most people who aren't Charlie Brooker address social media, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to see 500 years in the future than to predict 2 or 3 years with the technology and social change.
Emoji movie. Sorry, what?
That was looking back so far back into the past, into the darkest times of humanity, the dark ages of animation, really.
Yeah, Fahrenheit 451. I mean, it's a mixed bag. There's a lot to like about the film, but there's also a lot that leaves you wanting.
Mm. And I missed Michael B. Jordan's Killmonger hair.
Yes. Yes, Michael B. Jordan, I found him really dull in this film. After watching him as Killmonger.
Yeah, it's kind of a thankless role because for a lot of it, he's kind of the blank slate who's screaming on social media.
Right?
And then he's kind
he's
of
Neo.
Questioning. Yeah, he's
right.
Neo. And then he's questioning. And then he's, I mean, they do a better job of explaining in this why the authoritarian, like the rulers know what's going on because they have to read the stuff in order to combat it.
Exactly.
If you've ever seen the Christian Bale movie Equilibrium, like everyone's supposed to be on drugs so they don't feel any emotions, except once Christian Bale starts feeling emotions, his enemies, which are the bosses, who are supposed to be on this drug, they're all like grinning like loons and like laughing and having a great old time, even though they're supposed to be level. This has a way more better structure to it, I think, than that.
Yes, it does. It does. And you know what? That's why we failed here in Malaysia, because those in power didn't end up reading anyway.
Mm.
So after a while, they forget that they need to read the books.
They need to be up on that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, in order to debate someone down, you have to know more than them.
Correct.
Yeah.
Make Malaysia great. You can catch Fahrenheit 451 on HBO Asia. Go check it out. Look at your local Astro listings for when it's on. Let us know what you think when you've seen it. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.